Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends of God, I'm here today to tell you to remember your baptism. Baptism gives us our identity and our purpose in the world. Baptism answers those two questions for us. One, who am I? And the second one, what is my purpose? Who am I? What is my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing here? Everybody asks that question, sometimes with greater intensity. Sometimes we kind of have it figured out, but sometimes it's good to remember, who am I? What am I here for? And we see this as we remember Jesus' baptism. We hear the story of Jesus going to John the Baptist and receiving what we all need to receive, baptism. And Jesus' baptism declares who he is and what he's come to do. And we see that in the words of the passage this morning. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. We're going to start with the last part of that passage. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. You are my beloved Son. What you're doing pleases me. Jesus was God's Son. And that is, he's the unique Son of God, the only Son, the one begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, who with the Father and the Spirit is worshipped and glorified. No one else can claim that status. No one else can say, I am the Son of God. All other religious teachers were human teachers. They were born, they taught, they died. But Jesus was from before the creation. Jesus was the one through whom the creation was made. And he reigns in highest heaven for all eternity. In that mystery that is the Trinity, he's the eternal Son of God. He is God in the flesh. The voice from heaven confirms it. And that tells us that Jesus is uniquely qualified to show up and do what he needs to do. He needs to be fully human because human beings sinned. He needs to be a son of Adam. He needs to be a human being that's breathing. Because human beings sinned, so human beings must pay the price of that sin. And he has to be fully God, because by that power of his divinity, he would be able to bear the weight of God upon... excuse me, just turn this off for a sec. Now I'm okay. But his divinity... He needs to bear the weight of the full punishment of God on our sin and earn for us and restore to us that restored relationship with God. So that's his purpose. And then we see his anointing, or that's his identity. And now we see his purpose. We see him anointed. On the wings of a dove, the Spirit came down and landed upon him. And in this spiritual and symbolic and physical way, the Spirit anointed Jesus to his purpose on earth. And in the Bible, we see that there were whenever a person was anointed, and there were special people anointed in the life of the people of God, the king was anointed, the prophet was anointed, the priest was anointed, and they had all that oil that was specially made, and it would ran down their heads. And Jesus was anointed through the power of the Spirit. And he had all of those roles. He was our prophet. He was the Word of God. And he spoke the Word of God, and he revealed the Word of God. He revealed the mystery of God around the world. He spoke and said, I'm here to bring good news to the poor and to bring the kingdom of God here. He was our priest. The Spirit anointed him. Oh, thank Isaac, thank you so much. Jesus, it didn't work. I don't know what it was. Okay. Jesus was our priest. He came and he came to bring himself to the cross. He came to pay the price of our sin. And the Spirit anointed him to be the king. He was the one who had authority. When the ocean or the sea of Galilee was in an uproar, he said, quiet. And the sea was quiet and at peace. And the people were amazed. The apostle, who is this? He even has authority over the waves. And he has authority over the creation, over sin, even over death. He revealed himself as the leader we can follow without fear. So here in his baptism, we see who Jesus is and what his purpose is in this world. He's the anointed Savior sent to join humanity to bring us back into a relationship with God. He's our prophet, priest, and king. We learn this all from his act of baptism. And Jesus never forgot that baptism. He never forgot what that meant. He always remembered who he was and what he's called to do. Because in the very next sentence in chapter 4, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was sorely tempted. Turn these rocks into bread. Throw yourself down. Worship me. And he did none of them. I read somewhere that about 2,000 years ago, the fate of the world, depending on a rock staying a rock, 2 feet staying firmly put, and 2 knees staying unbent. The fate of the world depended on Jesus remembering who he was and what he came to do. It depended on him choosing the path we rejected and staying on it and doing what for us, what we couldn't do for ourselves and no one else could. Praise God that he didn't forget who he was. He was the Lord's anointed, the Messiah, God's only begotten Son, sent to present in deed and word the coming rule of God. No plot of Satan could tempt him away from that. No lure of false power or false glory could make him forget who he was and whose kingdom he came to declare. And in the strength of this victory and in the firm knowledge of his identity and mission, he began his public ministry after that time. And he followed it to the end. He took on the mission of compassion, obedience, sacrifice, and recreation. His life, teaching death and resurrection, inaugurated the coming rule of God. And when we are baptized, that's what's true of us as well. When we are baptized into him, we gain an identity. God says to us, you are my child. That's because we are baptized into Christ. And everything that he did, going down into the water, dying, and raising up, we do as well. We are adopted into his family and are now right with God only because of his righteousness on our behalf, going all the way to death on the cross. We don't have to do anything to gain God's favor. It's already there because of Christ. We're simply God's beloved children because of Jesus. When we're baptized into him, as Romans 6 says, in baptism, we die with Christ and are raised with him in newness of life. So when we get that, we are his beloved child. And it says, all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Our old selves are put to death, and our new selves are set free to live according to the way of God. We speak about the hope we have and of all the things made new. And that's what happens to you when you're baptized. When we're baptized, God says, you are mine. I love you. You are washed. It calls us to new life. In Galatians 3, verse 27, it says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We've clothed ourselves with Christ. We start to look like him. We start to wear his love. We start to wear his kindness and his compassion, his power, his grace, his service. These things shape us. And when we're baptized, we're placed in a church that shares this mission. A baptized people, we are part of something bigger than us. We're part of a great sweeping plan of salvation that encompasses every part of this world, all of the history, all of the future. God hasn't let the world stay in its sin, and he's not destroying it again. But out of the waters of Christ's baptism begins something new, something redemptive, something that embraces you and me. Jesus came to create something new and to re-engage the world toward God's dream for the world. This is where we learn to forgive. This is where we learn to show grace to each other. This is where we learn how to stand up against the powers and the principalities, how to live with hope, how to love, how to show something of the coming kingdom in our homes and in our lives. This is where we learn and feel and experience something new in us among these baptized people. When Paul opens his letter to the Christians in Romans, he describes them this way. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. That's us in baptism. You can take that as speaking to you and describing you. You are loved by God and called to be his holy people. Will you remember that? Will you take that on yourself? Will you let that sink way down into the core of who you are? Will you remember that when you think of your baptism? You know, we went to the rebaptism of someone who had been baptized as an infant in one of our churches. And in her testimonial, she said because she didn't remember her baptism, it wasn't meaningful to her. And you know, I'm a pastor in a Christian Reformed church. That kind of stung. Because here is a kid who grew up in a church, you know, same kind of church I was leading. And she said, yeah, I didn't remember it, so it didn't have any meaning to me. And I think, how could she grow up in one of our churches without the sense of her identity in Christ? It had to have been meaningful. It gave shape to the way she was raised. It placed her in a church where on Sundays she heard the gospel, where people were faithful to the vows they made to her. It placed her in a church that told her that she was a child of God, adopted into the family of God, and that she was now called to follow Jesus. But she didn't see that and opted to go for the full immersion baptism, a believer's baptism. I suppose it gave her something even more tactile to remember in her body, the feeling of going down under the water into the death of Christ and coming up out of the water in resurrection with Christ. There's something that she can now feel. But I have the same hope for her as I have hope for all of, you know, the teenagers in our church and all the kids in our church who has been baptized as an infant. I hope that she remembers who she is and what she's called to in this world. And that I have that hope for all of us. Remember your baptism. Even if you don't remember your baptism, remember that you are a beloved child of God, called to follow, called to be a living sacrifice of thanks, called to strive against evil and point to Christ's kingdom in the world. And it's really important that you know this about yourself. It's really important that this shapes you, this becomes you, this is who I am. Because we live in a world that keeps confusing us about who we are. Advertisers on TV and social media give us the simple and strong message of who we are. You're a consumer. And by the brand that you wear, that'll tell people who you are and how good you are. Because if you wear that certain brand, well, that means you're a certain person. Your identity comes from what brand you wear and what things you have. It's easy for us to identify ourselves by what we do. I'm an engineer. I'm an educator. I'm an electrician. We sometimes fall into a trap as well of identifying us by what we experience in life. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we find ourselves caught. Sometimes we find ourselves, winding up in places we didn't think we would wind up. And we identify ourselves with it. I'm an addict. I'm a cheater. I'm a victim. I am my disease. I am my past. I am my sexuality. And sometimes we engage in identity politics. I am defined by this political party. I'm defined by this flag. I'm defined by that cause or that commentator on social media or that news outlet. Maybe you used the label that comes from your Enneagram. I'm a 1, or I'm a 3, or I'm a 9. I don't even know what those numbers are, but people say it to me all the time. Maybe you use your astrological sign. I'm a Cancer. Who are you letting define who you are? As powerful as these influencers or identifiers can be, they are not the most powerful. Nor do they have the final say of who we are, because it is God who gets to tell us who we are. Our Creator, who gives us our deepest identity and our highest purpose. And in baptism, He does just that. And it's that simple. You are my beloved child. And I've got a place for you. I've called you to follow Jesus. As Len van der Zee puts it, baptized people have a new identity, a new name. Your identity is no longer merely your family, ethnic identity, or culture. Your most fundamental identity is the name of the triune God. And no matter how old you are, it matters that the waters of baptism flowed over your brow. Maybe you're like me, you don't remember it. I don't remember feeling it. But it doesn't matter. As a pastor, I want you to remember the meaning, the significance, the power of that baptism, to live into that identity and find the freedom and the truth and the refreshment that it brings. And in baptism, you've been enlisted into the mission of Jesus from an early age. In baptism, you're called to be different, called to be light shining in darkness, called to be salt expending itself in blandness. You're called to be kind, compassionate, as Christ is kind and compassionate. You're called to praise Jesus for His obedience on your behalf, following the law of love, and to live into that new creation He's making. This is a gift of God for you, already at the beginning of your life and throughout your whole life. To have this identity at the core of who you are will help you like it helped Jesus when He faced Satan in the desert. As you go into the wilderness places, as you go through your hard times, and there are hard times in life, there are times where you don't know who you are anymore. You've just been, the rug's been pulled out from under you, and who am I? What am I supposed to be? As you go through wilderness places, through hard times, you suffer from doubt and lose a loved one and face a big disease. And, you know, you'll face these things. And with this identity, you'll face them with a core of who you are and a center of your being. And that will give you strength and give you courage. I am a beloved child of God. When Martin Luther felt discouraged or afraid, he'd often splash water in himself and declare, "But I'm baptized." And John Calvin advised readers depressed by evil to reflect that they are still on the way to the complete victory that God promises in baptism. I came across something written by Melanie Weldon Soyset, and she shares this story after she lost her position as pastor of a church in China. And she said, "When I was in my own spiritual desert, I felt exposed and alone. False identities had been stripped off me, and I didn't know what was left. In that desert, God offered me a better garment. Melanie, God said to me during some of the lowest moments of my life, you are my beloved child." Those words shocked her because she hadn't really believed them and taken them to her heart. But when she surrendered and began to place them at the core of who she was, she began to heal and live into who she was in Christ. That's the power of baptism. At the core of who you are is a person who's loved and called. Nothing can take that away. Remember your baptism and follow Jesus. Let's pray. We give you thanks, O God, for entering our world in Jesus. In the River Jordan, John baptized him, and your Spirit anointed him. You declared him to be your beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased. Thank you for his anointing to be our prophet, priest, and king. He's the Word made flesh, who spoke your word and revealed you to our world. He's our sacrifice who frees us from sin and death and opens the ways of life everlasting. He's our Lord, our King, our leader, who has all the power and authority. We thank you, O God, for the gift of our baptism. In the waters of baptism, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death, raised to share his resurrection, and are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. You clothe us with Christ and give us a new identity. Help us to put on Jesus and to know deeply who we are in him. Help us to confess his name. Help us to offer our very selves as a sacrifice of gratitude. Help us to put on Jesus and strive with a good conscience against sin and evil. Pour out on us and on your whole church the gift of your Holy Spirit so that all who have passed through the waters of baptism might be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Help us to know you deeply and know how much you love us and how you call us to love. To you be all glory and honor, dominion and power, now and forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.